We thank God for the amazing love that is shown at the cross of Calvary. Whenever we look at the Holy Sacrament, it reminds us about God's love, about God's love that He came in search for us. Before we look at God's Word, let's ask God to bless us in this wonderful time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your amazing grace and love upon us. We pray, God, as we spend some time looking at Your Word, we pray, God, that You will enlighten our minds, that we will see Your Word. And Father, we pray that as we engage ourselves in Your Word, O God, we will have a personal encounter with You. Help us, O Lord, to live a life that is found pleasing in Your sight. We pray, God, that we will not come into Your presence only with a heart of thanksgiving, but help us, O Lord, to live a life of thanks living for You. We love You once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving holidays to each and every one of you, together with my wife and I. It's a joy, and we greet you that God will continue to bless you at this wonderful time. I remember many years ago when we were in the United States, we were staying in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. We will never miss a Thanksgiving dinner, especially dinner, right? The wonderful turkey and the wonderful friends that we always have. We thank God for that. When let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll be looking at from verses 9 to 11, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. I was just reading an article, and the writer of this article was saying why he is thankful to God. I think many of us have many reasons to be thankful. We thank God for this beautiful weather. I'm just praying that every day will be summer, because I come from a place which is Singapore, and it's always summer throughout the year. We don't have snow, we don't have fall. It's always sunny, right? It's something like Florida, right? We always enjoy. So we thank God for, there are many reasons for us to thank God for. We thank God for the wonderful weather we have, the family and the friends. And this man said, you know, I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. Amen. I know it's difficult for us to say amen, right? We want a reduce in HST. And then this same guy says, I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat. And he says, a lawn that needs mowing, windows that needs cleaning, and gutters that need fixing, because it means I have a home. I am thankful for the spot I find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means I am capable of walking. He says, I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about government, because it means we have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for, I'm a bit careful to say this, the lady behind me in the church who sings off key, because it means that I can hear. Many a times I think the men do off keys, right? Yeah, see the girls, the ladies are smiling, right? I'm thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means my loved ones are nearby. I'm thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning hours because it means I'm alive. And so I think we can go on and on, just be thankful to what God has done. I was also reading another article which says, if you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this people, of the world. If you have food, sometimes we have refrigerators, and on top of that we have even coolers, right? Do you call that coolers? Right? So I think we are much more richer. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, and spare change, we are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. Wow, do you have money in the bank? Say yes. So you are the top, one of the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you wake up in the morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million will not survive this week. And it says, if your parents are still alive and still married, you're very rare, even in the United States, you know, they say, you know, it's very rare to see. So we have so many things to thank God for. I think we thank God for wonderful things. But when I look at the scriptures that is before us today, I think we need to move not only giving thanks to God, but I think the passages that is going to be read to us today speaks to us that we are called to move from thanksgiving to thanks living. I think we come to church and we thank God for the wonderful thing. We show our gratitude by our offerings, by our testimonies. But when we look at God's word, I think it tells us it is more than that. The Lord expects us to go beyond thanksgiving. It is thanks living for Him. And so when Paul writes this particular letter to the church in Colossae, he writes in Colossians chapter 1. Let me read. For this reason, verse 9, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great inheritance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of His body, of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. And when Paul writes to this particular church, he's challenging the Christians by saying, you know, we need to be living a life full of thanks. I think we have been living a life just giving thanks to God for whatever He has done. But then he's challenging the congregation by saying, God has been so wonderful in your life that we need to live a life of thanksgiving. And that is what God is actually expecting from us. Someone said like this, thanksgiving was not meant to be shut up in a single day. It's an everyday thing. We need to thank God for each and every moment and each and every day that God has given to us. And that is thanks living. Three things Paul is mentioning in this particular passage. He says, you know, when Paul writes, he says, there are many things we need to be thankful for. Today we thank God because of the wealth that we have. We thank God for the material blessings that we receive. We thank God because we have loved ones around us. We have many things to be thankful for. Can you imagine if all these things are taken away from us? Can we, like Job, be thankful to God? If God is the Lord takes away everything away from us, can we say, Lord, I praise you because you're wonderful in my life? Can we say, Lord, you're living. I still worship you. I still love you. And Paul says, you know, that Christians have reasons to thank God for. Not because God has blessed me with these things, with material things which are temporal in this world, but God has given me eternal things. And I'm thankful to God for all the eternal things that God has given to me. Three things let me share with you from this particular passage. Firstly, Paul says, I'm thankful to God, and he's encouraging the Christians because the Father has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints. First thing, we thank God because God has enabled us to share in the inheritance of the saints. It is not material things. It is not temporal things that Paul is talking about. Paul says that each and every Christian need to be thankful to God because God has enabled each and every one of us to share in the inheritance of the same. When you look at the Greek word for the word inheritance, it means that you don't deserve. You don't deserve. It is not a gift that you receive, or it's not a reward that is rewarded to for you because of all your efforts. Inheritance is more than that. It is reserved for someone. You don't inherit an inheritance. It is given to you because of the relationship. And so Paul is telling the congregation, you are not receiving a gift, but God has prepared for you an inheritance. You are not worthy enough to receive. And God is there to give it to you. It's all because of the relationship with God. I think the sacrament that we just participated today talks to us about the inheritance. Right? You're not worthy. Amazing grace. Right? You're not worthy to be part of this sacrament. It's all because of God's grace. And so Paul reminds the congregation that we have an inheritance that is given to us. If you look at the Old Testament, you realize the land was given to the family of the Israelites. And it was a very sacred thing, because after the 50th year, you know, even though they have lent it to someone, it has to come back to the people, right? Every debts are paid for, and it belongs, it comes back to the person it was given to. And something like that, it is the same inheritance. It comes back to you. No one is able to snatch it away from you. And so Paul reminds the church, no one, no power in this world is able to snatch away from the inheritance that God has prepared for you. And he's talking about heaven. That's the inheritance that we need to be thankful for. If you read Paul, when Peter writes to the suffering Christians in 1 Peter, let me read 1 Peter. It's a wonderful passage, 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter is writing to the dispersed Christians. You know, they are scattered throughout Asia Minor. And they were just struggling. They were telling themselves, is it worth for me to live a Christian life in a very challenging and a suffering world? And so Peter reminds that life is not in this world alone. There is more to life. There is God is there waiting for us. And so let me read 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. He says, let me read from verse 3. Praise be to the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercies he have given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It is kept in heaven for you. It's a very military term when Peter uses the word. It's a military. It is just guarded for you. It is kept for you. God is guarding the place for us. And so my friend, I think we thank God for the material blessings that God has given to us. We thank God for families. We thank God for this beautiful weather. We thank God because we live in a country where there is a lot of freedom of speech. We can express ourselves in different ways and forms. But more than all these things which are temporal, we thank God because God has given us inheritance. And I'm not worthy to receive. It's not because I'm good, I'm worthy, but it's all because of God's grace. And so I think each and every day we need to be thankful to God. And as I told you, I think this inheritance is given to us because of our relationship with Christ. If we have a relationship with this world, if we continue to live a life according to the world, my friend, I think we don't inherit it in this inheritance. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, Paul writes to this church. It's a disturbed church. It's a church that has a lot of problems. And so Paul says the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It is only people who have a right living, a right relationship with the Lord will inherit the kingdom of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes to the church and reminds the church that we, those who do not share in the kingdom of God, people who are engaged in idol or idol worship or idol activities, they do not partake in the kingdom of God. And I think even if you read Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, I think Paul in numerous passages speaks about that when we have a life according to this world, we don't inherit the inheritance that is prepared for us. And so my friend, the first thing that God gives us today and we need to be thankful for is an inheritance. It's not a gift, it's not a reward, but God, because of love, He has prepared the inheritance for us. And so each and every day should be a time that we need to be thankful for the many things that God has done for us. And secondly, if you read the passage that was just that I just read to you, he says, giving in verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who have qualified you to share in the inheritance. And then he says in the following verse, for he has rescued us from the power or the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son. In other words, he says, not only God has given us the inheritance, but he has delivered us from the power of darkness. And so we need to be thankful to God. The language used here is more of the present tense now. It's about the present time that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And he has actually brought us to light. And that's what Paul is reminding the church. I think, in other words, you know, we have been delivered so we can live a victorious Christian life today. We need not blame, you know, the powers of this world. And so Paul says, God has actually delivered us from the power of darkness, and we are able to live a life which is found pleasing in the sight of God. And today, I think many times I realize some Christians will come and tell me, Pastor, it's difficult for me to live a life that is pleasing to God. But let me challenge you. It is possible for us because we have been delivered from the power of darkness, my friend. The power of darkness, because the Word of God says the Satan is the power of darkness. Right? And we struggle in this world. But even then, I think God has delivered us. If you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, Paul speaks about the struggle that each and every person is having. If you're fighting against, in Ephesians 6:12, he says, put on the full armor of God, because we are fighting against the principalities and the powers of this world. And so he says, you know, there is struggle in this world, but be thankful because God has delivered you. We can still live a victorious life, a life that is pleasing in the sight of God, even though there is much darkness around, there is much evil around, there are much injustice and evil and wicked things around in this world. We have been delivered from the power of darkness by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think we need to be thankful for God's inheritance in our life, at the same time for delivering us from the power of darkness. And so, my friends, I do not know about you, but I want to encourage you. Sometimes we complain by saying it's a bit difficult. You can. It is possible for us to live a life pleasing to God, because God has delivered each and every one of you from darkness. Yes, we struggle with the powers of this world, but God has delivered us. And there is power in the name of Christ. And that's why John 12:31 says, you know, and then Colossians 2:13 and 15, that God has actually cancelled all our debts by nailing it to the cross. And let me finish with the last verse, you know, and he says in Colossians chapter 3, the last, he said, not only God has actually enabled us to experience inheritance which is prepared for us, and so we thank God for that, and secondly, we are delivered from the power of darkness. So today we are able to live a life because God has delivered each and every one of us from the prince of this world. And thirdly, he says, we are delivered to the kingdom of the Son. Right? The word delivered here in the Greek word, it's a very powerful word. It's a word which we are actually transferred from one location to another location. Right? We are transferred from one location to another location. So, like the Jews, they were transferred from the land of bondage to the land that was flowing with milk and honey, Canaan. So they were transferred. And so God has actually transferred us into the kingdom of the Son. Sometimes many Christians say, you know, Pastor, I'm just waiting for the kingdom of God. But the way Paul is speaking here, actually when we accept Jesus Christ into our life, the kingdom of God has actually come into us. I always tell our congregation, you know, living your eternal life now itself You don't wait for your eternal life to come. Now itself. And that's what Paul is trying to say, that now that because we receive Christ, we are transferred into the kingdom of the Son. And so we start living a life for Christ. We start experiencing the kingdom of God right now itself. We start experiencing and enjoying the kingdom of God. It's not only future, my friend. It's also in the present. And so we need to ask ourselves, am I living in the kingdom of God, or am I living in the kingdom of this world? And so Paul is saying, I thank you and I praise God, because God has prepared inheritance for me so that I can experience that inheritance. Secondly, God has delivered me from the power of darkness. And so because of the Spirit of God, I'm able to live a life that can be found pleasing in the sight of God. And not only that, I think we are transferred into the kingdom of the Son. And that's why we are called saints. Do you know, today the word saints are meant for some strange people, right? Or sometimes people are very sane. But according to the Greek word, the saint, you know, each and everyone is a saint. Because a person who is separated for God is a saint. A person who comes into the kingdom of the Son is a saint. And that's how Paul sees that particular word. And so each and every one of you, today when you go back, tell yourself, you are a saint. Right? I know it's a bit difficult. Someone might say, you know, it's a word that we don't want to use. But according to the word of God, we are saint. It's because of Christ, my friend. It's because of Christ. Let me share with you what they do in Africa. And I think we thank God for the thanksgiving that God has given to us. It's not only thanksgiving, I think God is calling us to live a life of thanksgiving. Let's live a life of thanksgiving, living for Him because of the inheritance that is prepared for us. Let's continue to live a life of thanksgiving because God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And let's continue to live a life of thanksgiving because we don't belong to this world. We belong to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of the Son, where Christ is there, is here to be with us, to help us. In the Maasai tribe in West Africa, they have an unusual way of saying thank you. Right? In my culture, the way we say thank you, we should always put your hands together, and then you bow your head a bit, and then you say thank you. Right? That's the way we do it in our culture. In the Maasai culture in West Africa, there's an unusual way of saying thank you. They bow their head with their forehead on the ground and say, "My head is in the dirt. My head is in the dirt." And then when members of another African tribe want to express their thanks, they sit for a long time in front of the hut of the person who did the favor. They sit in front of the hut, right, of the person who did the favor, and literally say, "I sit on the ground before you." In other words, they say, "You know, I'm sitting on the ground before you, and I'm saying thank you to you." I think that's a very powerful way. I think today we need to be sitting in the presence of God and say, "Lord, we thank you. It's not what I have in this world. It's not what I possess in this world. It's because I have an inheritance that I'm not worthy enough that I'm going to experience. And I'm just living a life, Lord, because I know that inheritance is there for me." And I think we need to be thankful to God at every time of our life, because God has delivered us from the power of darkness. And because of Christ, we are and we can, and it is possible for us to live a life that will please Him. And not only that, I think because of Christ, we are transferred in the kingdom of the Son. And we thank God because we can start experiencing eternal life in this world itself, my friend. Because we belong to the Son. So it's my prayer that each and every one of you will continue to experience God's kingdom in your life. And it's my prayer that we will move from thanksgiving to a thanksgiving, just reminding of the things that God has done for us. Let's pray and let's ask God to be with us. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, because of the many things that you have done in our lives. Lord, when we look at our lives, we are reminded of your goodness. When we look at the things that we have in this life, we are reminded of your provision. When we look at our families, oh God, we are reminded of your love, your unfading love for us. And Father, when we look at your word, we thank you, Lord, that you have done much more of greater things for us, oh God, that we can move from thanksgiving to thanksgiving, living. We thank you, Lord, because each and every day we can praise you because you have prepared an inheritance for us. We are not worthy, O Lord. It is given. It's all because of your amazing grace. It's given to us. It's prepared for us because of the relationship we have in you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that even in this world, in the wicked world around, we can still live a life that will magnify and glorify your name. It's all because you have delivered us from the power of darkness. In the name of Christ, the Lord, we are able to live a life pleasing for you. We can overcome. We are overcomers because of Christ. And we thank you for that. There is victory in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, we are not alone in this world because we belong to the kingdom of the Son. And Christ is not only the ruler of our life, but he's the good shepherd, a God who's there to lead, to guard, and to be with us. And so, Lord, I want to pray for each and every person gathered here. We thank you, Lord, because when we start worshiping you, oh God, you're a God who have never forgotten us. Your love is there. And Lord, we thank you because you have prepared a place for us. And you are with us even now to help us in our Christian journey. We thank you, Lord, for assuring us that we belong to you. We pray for blessings upon each and every person. We love you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.